Matthew chapter 3, please, for our church reading today. This is our church reading, which will be on the television up there. This is something we all read together, because the Bible says to read His Word. It builds faith in God's people. It builds faith in us, the Word of God. As we read the Word and we hear it with our own ears, it does something on the inside of us where the Spirit of God lives. It builds faith in Him to believe for miracles, signs, wonders, for whatever we need in our hearts and lives. So y'all ready to read? Okay. Chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3. And we're reading aloud, okay? If you don't have your Bibles, look on the TV, television up there, and it'll give you the words. Verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, verse 2, and saying, repent you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, verse 3. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight, verse 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. 6. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance. 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. 10, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen. 12. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. 13. Then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. 14. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and come you to me. 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. My Lord, my Lord. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. My Lord. What a God we serve. Amen. If you would take your Bibles. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word gives life to my spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. We do want to welcome everyone here, and we just pray that the Spirit of God would be upon you and upon your life. We want to welcome everyone who's watching, that the Spirit of God would be upon you, and we pray that something we say or do will encourage you in your walk with Him. You know, there are many examples of God giving specific instructions to many people. Number one, it could be, you know, when God told Noah to build an ark. He gave him specific instructions. He told them how long, how wide, how high, how to make it, what wood to make it out of. I mean, everything. And in the end, when it was built, and it took 100-something years to build it, as people laughed at him, and they said, we've never seen rain before, all of a sudden, the day came when God brought in 2 by 2 the animals into the ark. They didn't have to go get them. And then the one they did sacrifice, 7 of them would come in. And they all marched in, and God closed the door. What a miracle. God gave them specific instructions. Also, the battle of Jericho, when God told them how they would win that battle by walking around that city, that the wall of that city, not making a sound to the last day, when God told them to shout, and the walls came tumbling down. You see, sometimes the way God deals with things is not how man or humanity would deal with things. But God gives specific instructions to how to do things. I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 19 to 21, page 722. Here we see another specific instructions that God gave to him, to a man of God, to Solomon and David. Look at starting with verse 19. It says, and all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you, until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. You might say, well, what was God doing at this time? Why did David tell his son this? God had given specific instructions to David on building a permanent temple. You know, it was about a year later. You remember when the children of Israel were in bondage to Egypt? And God miraculously, through 10 plagues, brought them out. I mean, that was a miracle. Not one shot was fired. I don't know, whatever. Not one arrow was thrown. Nothing was done. God took care of it. And they came out rich, with a lot of gold, a lot of silver. They came out rich. They came out, they were delivered by God, and they came and they crossed the Red Sea, which God had dried up the ground, and they walked across, and then the Egyptian army came and they were destroyed in the river. How God miraculously did great things to the children of Israel, his children. We are his children. And God will do miraculous things in your life if you lay your life before him saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I need instructions. God is looking for a people that will lay down their lives. And I'm just saying, you give it your life to him and saying, Lord, whatever you need to do, do it. God brought them out, and for that 1 year of span, as they wandered in the desert, they didn't have no temple to go and worship their God. So God told Moses, and he showed him how to make a makeshift temple. He told them how big it needed to be, how high it needed to be, what to make it out of, what colors to use. I mean, specific. Moses didn't have anything to do with giving instruction as far as saying, I'm going to do this to the temple. God told him exactly how to do it. And that temple was erected from Moses. And as they would move, they would tear it down when God said, and they would go to another area and they would resurrect, they would bring it back and build it again. Because you see, God yearns to be with his people. He wanted to be with them. You know, we know they had a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And as they would look up 24 hours a day, they could know that God was in charge. People, we need to realize that God is in charge of our lives. As we lay down our lives, as we give it to Him, God is in control. He can do what He wants to do. He wants us to call upon Him. It says, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. That's the power of Almighty God. And it says in that inner part of that makeshift temple, God, the Holy Spirit would come. And they would know He's there. And they had to go, they had to put their tribes all around that temple. He told them exactly where their tribes had to be. The tribes of Judah or the tribes of Israel. But they came to a place where now they were occupying a land. And God came to David and said, I'm going to give you instructions on a permanent place for me. Permanent place. And God came to David, and you can read it in Chronicles, where he tells David exactly how to build it. How big it needed to be, how high it needed to be, what colors to use, everything God told him what to do. David could put his no two cents into it. Solomon, which was David's son, could put no two cents into it. Their hands were off. They were just instruments in building it so God could have a permanent place upon the earth. You might say, well, there's no temple now. Well, yes, there are temples. Each and every one of you are a temple of God. Because where does God live now? You know, John chapter 3 talks about giving our lives to Him. And when He comes and He lives in you, you are a temple of the Holy Ghost. I know we talk about coming into the house of the Lord, and that's kind of like yes and no. You know, we come together, but this is the house of the Lord. You can look to yourself. God lives in you. God gives you instructions. And God gave David instructions on what to do and how to do it. Because God wanted to be with His people. You know, it took roughly about 480 years from the time they left Israel till finally God had a permanent place that He went into the Holy of Holies and the Spirit of God was there. My Lord, 480 years. And we know this, that God wanted a permanent place. He wants a permanent place in our lives too, people. He just doesn't want a little bit. But He wants a permanent place where He can speak to you. Where He can show you things. Where He can reveal who He is to you. Where you can sense the presence of Almighty God. You know, if we come to church and don't sense or feel the presence of Almighty God, why did we come together? Well, we do it because God says so. But God says where two or three are gathered in His name, He will be there in the midst. In the midst. And we need the Spirit of God working in us. Because you see, there's a lot of things on each and every one of us that God wants to work on. There's a lot of stuff on the inside of us. You know, we've all come from, you know, we were born and we've gone, we were raised most, you know, and now we're married or whatever and we have a life. And there's a lot of stuff that happens to us that God has to work through and in us. There's some things that He has to take out and put in. And only the Spirit of God can do that. You know, it's only the Spirit of God that can heal those hurts on the inside of us. Could be from a family member, could be from a father or a mother or a child or family members, aunts, uncles, whatever it is, or just people in general. Only God can come in and heal those hurts. And you know what? God wants to. Don't feel that you're bothering Him when you go to Him about a hurt of some kind. you know. Don't feel that you're bothering him. He desires for us to come to him. Look, he was building a permanent place because he wanted to be with the children of Israel. He wanted them to come and make sacrifices. He wanted them to come and do those things that needed to happen so he can bless his people. He wants us to go to him. He wants us to tell him what's on our hearts. He wants us to give him the praise and honor and glory that is due unto him. Because he wants to share his heart with us and touch our lives. You know, probably every one of us has been touched by the Spirit of the Lord. And when the Spirit of God touches us, it changes us. The circumstances might be the same on the outside, huh? It's the same. Nothing has changed, it seems like. But I tell you what, as you before God and the Spirit of God comes in and touches your heart, it changes something on the inside of us. See, that's what God is looking at, changing us to make us into what He wants us to be. Because if He can change us and He has our hearts, we will do everything He calls us to do. Because He needs people to advance the work of Him upon the earth. Now you might say, well, He needs people. Well, He needs us to do the work. The Spirit of God comes in. He tells us. He energizes us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us wisdom. And we go forth and do it. There's a lot of work. You might say, well, how do you know there's a lot of work? Because there are a lot of people that don't know Jehovah God, Jesus Christ. There's a lot around the world. You know, there are 7 major religions upon the earth, and counting one as Christian. And that lumps a lot of churches together, you know. Christian churches, they put that into one. There are 7 major. That means there are 6 major religions in the world that don't know Jesus. I know we live in this area and we think everybody knows Jesus. Let me tell you, they might have heard a little bit about them, but their hearts are far from Him. And we need to continually tell people that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer and the only answer to their life's problems. And He's the only door to get to heaven. As we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it gets in the hearts and lives of people. King David. God would not let King David build that temple. God gave instructions to David and his son Solomon. But God would not let David build that temple. David was forbidden to build the temple himself because he was a man of war who had shed much blood. So he prepared the resources for his son instead, provided financial support. Here we see King David provided the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the cedar wood, the precious stone, the skilled workers, and also provided the final plans to the building that Solomon could build it. When David died, Solomon went to the throne. And you young people, you might say, nobody's young. Young people, listen to this. When Solomon went into authority and became king, you know how old he was? Most people believe, and I kind of believe that too, he's about 20 years of age. Some people think that he might have been about 15. So between 15 and 20, he assumed the kingship. There was peace in Israel at that time. David had gathered everything that needed to be used in building that temple. And he only got the materials that God said to get. He bought it, he got it somehow, and stored it up. But God wouldn't allow David to build that temple. He said only because of the blood that was on his hands. Look at this. In verse 10 of Chronicles 28, it says, "Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Now here we see, now this is, they're talking to Solomon here. Be strong and do it. 20 years of age, 15, no wisdom. No. 20, thank God he had his father David. But he's 20, let's say 20. Let's put that in our hearts. That he takes the kingship and he sits on that throne. And God said, "Now, Solomon, it's your time because David's gone." There was a little time where David was still king some and Solomon still took that position, but then he finally died, David. 20 years of age. God told Solomon how to do it, but David said to his son, and David said to Solomon, the verse we read, verse 20, "Be strong." What has God put upon your heart to do for him? What has God laid upon your heart? Now, there are some general things. You know, God, when especially when you get married, God says to be a good father and to give instructions from the Word of God to your children. That's a calling. That's a gift. As a mother, God has given you specific gifts to raise your children in a godly way. Thank God David had a great mother that showed him, and Solomon also, you know, the Word of God. But as fathers, to raise your children in the right way, to do what is right, to be the example for them, you know, to be the example for them. Jelaine and I have been going to be 37 years. And I'm going to tell you this. We have never, our children have never seen us argue. Never. Won't happen. Not that we don't have disagreements. Some, you know. They've never seen us argue. We don't do that. Because you have to be a solid unit in raising your children, in doing the work that God calls you to do. We have to be strong in the things that God calls us to do. You know, God has called you to be a man of God. God has called you to be a woman of God. And you can go in specific things. You know, maybe God has called you to preach the gospel. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse, I think, 11, it says, that gives the fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. My God. If God has called you into that, you know, you need to know that God says, be strong in those things. Be strong with what God has called you. Your job. You might say, "Oh, my job, Lord." But if you're there, God's called you there. Be the best worker you can be for that company. You don't put your eyes upon the boss. You don't put your eyes upon the other co-workers. Now, you want to be friendly. I'm not saying that. But you keep your eyes upon God who has willfully put you there. You spend the time that is needed and get the job done. He's called you. You do the work as unto him. Whatever God called. Now, there's another one that's general to everybody. You know, we're to be givers. God has called us to do that. We give forgiveness. We give love. God says to be tenderhearted, forgiving of one another, to love one another. We do those things. And we do them according unto him and what he wants. We're to serve him with everything within us. David said to Solomon, his son, be strong. Be of good courage. You know why he's saying that? And we can go through them. Because you're going to get weak at times. But he's saying, be strong, Solomon. There's times you're not going to be able to get maybe this or that, or you might not be able to get the skilled workers you need. Because, you know, let me tell you this. The temple, the permanent temple that was built, was not built right on that site. I mean, it was built there. But all the materials, all the hewing of the rocks, that was done miles away. They would hew it out, cut it to what it needed to be, bring it, and fit it in. There was no hammer. There was no chisel. There was no sound of equipment. Zero. Because God said to do it that way. That was a holy place unto God. Holy, that's where His presence would be. My Lord. And so he took it serious. And let me tell you, Solomon fulfilled all that God wanted him to do. Be strong, Solomon. Be of good courage and do it. Be the best mother you can be. You might say, well, I don't know what it is. Pray and ask God to show you. Be the best father you can be. That's God calling you. Be the best giver you can be, because God has put a gift upon your life. Do whatever He's called you to do. Be the best at it, as unto the Lord. Be the best grandparents you can be. You know? There's no limits when it comes to grandparents. We just give, give, give. Doesn't matter. When is your children? No, no, no. Now it's yes, 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 and no limit. But be the best you can be. And do it. Fear not. Fear not, people. What God calls you to do, fear not. Don't fear people, fear God. And when they talk about fearing God, that means giving adoration and praise and honor unto Him. Nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God, even my God, will be with you. Look, I don't get up on Sunday morning and say, Lord, are you going to be with me as I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? I know what the scripture says. We've got, you know, hey, the decisions we had to make, we know God will be with us. Remember, what you are in now, God will be with you. You might say, well, I don't know if I believe it. Well, get that scripture and read it. Get that scripture and write it down. Get that scripture and read it every day and say, God, you are with me. I believe. Because the enemy will try to tell you you're alone. The enemy will try to tell you that, you know, you're out of God's will. Now, if God tells you you're out of God's will, you get on God's right side then. You repent and you go on. You repent and you go on. But Solomon knew that he had to do what God called him to do. And that doesn't mean when you do what God wants you to do that the enemy won't come after you. We think, well, if I follow God's will, everything's going to fall into place and everything's going to be good. No, we fight against the enemy. We fight against flesh. We fight against principalities and powers in high places. The enemy comes to what? To steal, kill, and what? Destroy. That's what he wants to do to your life. He wants to kill you if he can. He wants to steal everything you got, and he wants to destroy you, your family, and everything you have. We better put the focus up and say, okay, Lord, but God says, I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. We put our faith in the life giver. We put our faith in what God can do and what God wants to do. What He's called us to do, we sit back and we say, okay, now God is in your hands. I'm just waiting on your instructions. We pray and we seek God. And we say, Lord, I receive your instructions. What do you want? He says he would be with us. He will be with, he will not fail you. Look, get that in your spirit. Your God will never fail you. He will never fail you. It may look like failure. It may even seem like failure. But I tell you what, God will never fail you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, my Lord, as they're standing there and the trumpet blows, and only three guys out of the millions there, the hundreds of thousands there, only three guys stood up and stayed standing and would not bow their knee to the God that they built. And so the excuse came by the enemy himself for the king, saying, well, they probably didn't hear what I wanted them to say, do. And so they blow it again, and these three guys stay standing. Wow. The king got so mad at them that they heated up the furnace seven times hotter than ever before. And they took these three guys and they threw them in the fiery furnace, people. The guys that threw them in died. It was so hot. But as the king looked back in, he said, there's a fourth man in the fire. Look, the situations we go through, who said hallelujah? My Lord, that's God. There's a fourth man in the fire, and he looks like the Son of God. My Lord. You see, we need the Son of God with us. We need some experiences where we feel and sense the Son of God with us. We need God to move. We need to seek Him like never before. They saw God in a different way than they ever saw before. They saw a God that can come in through the worst of the worst of the worst of situations and take off the ropes that tied their hands and their feet. That's the kind of God who can take those things off of our lives and bring freedom to all of us. My Lord. My Lord. He will not fail us, people. We can keep our faith in Him and know that God will never fail us. Doesn't matter what happens in life. Doesn't matter what's going on wrong at home. Doesn't matter what's happening upon the job that's bad. We still have our faith in Christ, and God will never fail us if we keep our faith in Him. He will give us instructions. He will show us what to do. Don't look to the world. Look to His Word. Look to Him and saying, Father, I need your help. And let me tell you, He's the one that can come in with His hand deep within your heart and soul and change something on the inside of us. He's the one that can bring life to our spirit. He's the one that can give us freedom. My Lord, my Lord. That's the kind of God we serve that will never fail us. That's what David wanted Solomon to know. As you're erecting this temple, that God will never fail you. He's given me instructions, but He's letting you build it. You might say, well, why? Well, because of the blood on David's hands. He killed a lot of people, and God didn't want that upon the temple. You see, the temple is a place of peace and worship unto God, my Lord. He will never fail us in all that we endeavor to do for the kingdom of God. He will never fail you nor forsake you. Remember, God will never forsake you. It may look dim. It may look bleak. It may look like the thunderstorms like we had yesterday, rain all day, and horror during the night. But look out this morning, and the only thing you can tell is that there was water in the ditches and stuff. But the sky is beautiful. Beautiful. Even when the storms come, God says He'll never forsake us until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. God will be with us to the end of time. God will be with you in what He's called you to do till that time of service is over. You know, like I said earlier, I don't have to worry on Sunday morning or Wednesdays or whatever. Get up and think, well, you know, I don't know if God's going to be with me today. God says He's called me. God has called me. And so when God has placed the call upon a person to preach the gospel, okay, when He does that, He's going to be with them. That doesn't mean the preacher's perfect, but that means He's trying to work things out for their good. He's working in them to work. But we're all His children. And we all preach somehow, maybe not behind a pulpit, but you're preaching to somebody down the road that needs a little bit of hope and help. My Lord. My Lord. God has called me to preach the gospel, so I have to do it to the best of my ability to see where God can move upon people's hearts and lives and change them to the best of His ability that He can do. You have many preachers that are in pulpits this morning, and I don't want to be ugly, but they're in that pulpit because of the money. Not called by God. They're in it because their great-great-grandfather was a preacher, then their grandfather was a preacher, and their father was a preacher, so they said, well, I need to be one. No, what we need are men and women behind the pulpits that have been called by God. Because when they're called by God, they can say whatever, and the Spirit of God moves upon a people. My God, by the Holy Ghost. But also, you know, the sad fact is, there are a lot of people in the pews that should be behind the pulpit. That may be worse because they have not surrendered to the call. A lot of young people have not surrendered. A lot, maybe older people, you know, whatever. But you see that both are not good. Both are not good. But we need to realize, and then all of a sudden it says Solomon started building it. I mean, they got, and I looked it up, skilled workers, people. 70,000 people to carry heavy loads. 80,000 stonework cutters to work in the hills to prepare the material. My Lord. The builders had to precisely shape and fit the massive stones which were cut at the site before being brought to Jerusalem. The construction site was quiet. My Lord. And you can find that in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. They use no tools at the site. What I want to tell you is this. What God calls you to do, do it to the best of your ability. Be the greatest mother. You might say, man, I failed. Well, hey, look, welcome to the club. Everybody has failed. Welcome to the club. As a father, you might say, well, I failed. Teach your children, fathers, the word of God. What is it to take a Bible and sit down with your son or your daughters as they're young and read the word to them? Just read it to them. You might say, well, what if they ask me a question I don't know? When do you find out the answer? Be honest with them. I don't know the answer, but I'll find out. See, the word of God needs to penetrate our hearts so that good fruit or fruit can come forth from it. We're to know God. We're to serve Him with a perfect heart. Serve Him with a willing mind. My Lord, that's in 1 Chronicles 28:9. Serve Him with a willing mind. Serve Him. He will be. Serve Him. Seek Him. He will be found of you. And forsake Him, and He will cut you off forever. So if we seek Him, we'll find Him. But if we forsake Him, He will cast us off forever. Seek Him, serve Him, find Him. God has a purpose for you. You know, you keep hearing, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? Well, read in this word. Your purpose is to serve Him. That's number one. And then He'll give you specific answers to what He wants you to do. To share the gospel. To be, you know, a ministry of helps. You ever heard of that in the Bible? Ministry of helps? That's for everybody. You know that? Helps of any kind. Helps throughout the church. That means helping with this, helping with everything that needs to happen. Ministry of helps. God will be with us no matter what. Let Him do what needs to happen, and He will be with us. We're to bear the image of God, to restore the image of God, and make the most of today while it is called today. My Lord, my Lord. Let God do what He needs to do in you and through you.